Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called I Worked the Night Shift at a Grocery Store with Some Disturbing Rules. Now bagging groceries has made me fear for my life. This is by Bedandy the Red from Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story, and if you do, let me know. Let's get started. It's crazy what some people will put up with for a little bit of money. Desperate times, I suppose. Well, I am one of those desperate people. Desperation to get my daughter a life-saving medical treatment is what drove me to where I am now. That same desperation has led to daily fear of what might happen next to Danny and I, now that it's over. I had no choice. I needed money right away. I couldn't qualify for a loan, and the damn insurance company said the treatment was not authorized under our policy. My work was barely paying over minimum wage, and I still needed almost $5,000. The only way this would work is if I got another job working graveyard somewhere else, at least until I could save enough to get her the treatment. Danny was all I had left. I already lost her mother a year ago in that car crash. I couldn't lose her too. I looked high and low. I combed the classifieds and drove around, desperately searching for a job that could pay what I needed and have an available night shift as well. The prospect seemed hopeless, but I had to find something soon. The town we lived in was small and the prospect seemed bleak. That was when, in a streak of what felt like luck at the time, I inquired about a job at a small grocery store about a mile away from where we live. It was called She's Nighttime Convenience and Grocery. It was an odd little store that was closed during the day and seemed to open at around 8 p.m. and close sometime before morning. The weird hours seemed off, and I didn't know who would want to shop at a store that was only open in the middle of the night, when there were 24-hour chains elsewhere. Though it did not really matter. It was a store, I needed a job, and the unique hours in this case would work for the schedule I needed. I decided to try and apply for a job there. I was on my way home after finishing a shift at my day job. My friend Kathy was nice enough to watch Danny while I was working, and had even agreed to do so if I found a graveyard shift somewhere else as well, at least for a month or two if needed. Since I had seen the odd shop and saw the hours, I decided to inquire about a job at the lonesome and odd little store that seemed to only be open at night. I was reluctant at first, since I thought they might have some illicit reasons to only be open at such hours. Despite my misgivings, I realized it was the best hope I had of getting a job, with my minimal skill set, and that was a guaranteed graveyard shift. So I got out of my car and walked up to the entrance. The place was pretty run down, but seemed to still have signage up and around the front. There were sale signs and clearance items advertised, and the somewhat normal facade of a grocery store made me relax and continue with my intended course. I noticed up close that there was a mark under the first part of the store name, She's. It looked like Japanese kanji or something. I stepped inside and it seemed deceptively large compared to how small it looked on the outside. There were aisles of various groceries and other household supplies, and even some clothes racks. I had no idea how it was this large in operation. Most of the shoppers seemed fairly normal at first, though there were some people who you could tell preferred to do their shopping at night. I tried not to stare as I received a rather murderous-looking glare from one such individual who I must have let my eyes linger on too long. The staff also looked about the same as any other store staff would, fairly diverse and no one with an overly cheery or overly sullen mood about them. I did notice that there was not a lot of talking near the checkouts. Moving on, I looked near the front, intent on finding a manager's office to inquire at. I felt hopeful when I saw a sign that I thought read, Help Wanted. I felt a bit confused and less optimistic when I read the full content of the rather strange sign stating, Help Wanted, but not always needed. I was not sure how to take that, so I decided to look for someone to ask. As I approached the back office and went to knock on the door, I was interrupted by a large man with a blue store apron and a name badge indicating he was Store Manager Benny. The large man welcomed me with a pleasant, though slightly forced, Hello? Can I help you find something today? I was distracted by the almost pained expression on his face, like his smile would eventually shatter the muscles on his face if he kept it on for a moment longer. Brushing past the distraction, I remembered why I was there. Yeah, I was actually looking to apply for a job here. I stated my earnest intent while gesturing to the help sign near the door. Benny stopped smiling and looked at the sign, and then looked as if he was about to say something, when he held up a finger and pulled out a radio from his pocket. Molly, what is the bagger situation today? How are we holding up staff-wise? There was no immediate response. He smiled again in that disturbing way while he drummed his fingers along his tie, as he awaited a response. His face wrinkled and then he stated, I'm sorry, I think we might be full at the moment, but thanks for your interest. He was about to usher me away when his radio barked to life and I heard a static, laden voice on the line. I couldn't hear everything, but it sounded strange and I thought I caught something like, Rob, caught, problem, and got bagged. I didn't know what to make of the weird bits I heard, but before I could think twice about it, I heard Benny mumble, All right, but next time answer faster. It could have been a code black, and if you mess around with those customers, it is your ass next. I was still standing there in awkward silence when he wheeled around, and his frustrated veneer vanished, and he was back to the awful fake smile as he loudly proclaimed, Congratulations! There is an opening available now! Let's get you set up! Can you start tonight? Right now? As in tonight? I asked, thoroughly surprised they would want me to start immediately and without any application or vetting process to speak of. Yes, right now. Now, don't worry, we can sort out all the legal stuff later, but for tonight, we are actually a bit busier than normal and we could use the help. First, though, let's talk terms and some mandatory paperwork. I was not sure what he meant, but I figured it might mean a salary negotiation. Sure. What is the pay and benefits? I knew it was a little tacky to ask up front, but I needed that money badly, and Danny couldn't afford for me to get taken for a ride by someone lowballing my wages. $45 an hour is the pay for baggers, which is what we normally start people as. I almost gasped aloud. That was crazy for a grocery store bag boy. My surprise was apparent, and Benny held up a hand and cut off my next question, stating, We value hard work and integrity here and just a wee bit of discretion. He laughed aloud and slapped his knee. But in all seriousness, there is a non-disclosure agreement we do need you to sign with the paperwork. He grinned again, and I thought the discretion bit and NDA was weird, but that was double what I was making at my day job, so I was overjoyed at the prospect. He continued. Health coverage and dental are fully covered, but no life insurance. Those policies always have some trouble for some reason. His grin widened as he said the last part, and it looked even more fake than before. Despite some disturbing implications, I could scarcely hear the alarm bells in my head over my future payday. I had found a miracle. I would be able to get enough money in about a month working here in my day job. I would be able to get Danny that treatment. I didn't need to be asked twice. I readily agreed to the offer. Very good decision, and welcome to the She family, Ed. Get out here and get our new hire an apron and a tag and start with a simple version of the bagger training. An unpleasant-looking older man emerged from the back room and was holding an apron and moving with an odd gait that might have indicated some previous injury or the like. I forced a smile and introduced myself, but the man, Ed, as I heard his name was, did not reciprocate. He looked me up and down and snorted derisively in a way that was hard not to take offense to. I let it go and waited for him to say something. Just before opening my mouth to ask when the training started, he cut me off and humorlessly asked, You know bagging, feller? Bagging? Like, bagging groceries? I tried to clarify. He glared at me and just nodded his head. Well, yeah, I mean, I have a general idea. I never worked at a grocery store before, but I think I know how things should be bagged, generally speaking. He paused an uncomfortably long time, and I was about to try and speak again when he snorted and gave a rather unpleasant throaty laugh that ended in a dry coughing fit. After he finished, he said, Not like this. I'm guessing you don't. All right then, come on. I'll show you how to do the bagging and also the other rules. Reckon you better listen close. I ain't for repeating myself. I nodded my head and we started towards the back room, when I heard the radio on his belt come to life and a very nervous sounding voice on the other line say, Code Black. Repeat. Code Black. Ed's face wrinkled in a way that somehow made him look even more annoyed than usual. Oh, damn it all. More of them failures already? He turned and left, angrily shouting some imperceptible grunts and complaints into the walkie and left me near the back room, dumbstruck and not sure of what to do next. What was a code black? Why was everyone afraid of them? I was about to go look for someone when I felt a hand on my shoulder and I wheeled around to see a woman. The tag on her shirt read, Assistant Manager Molly. She smiled at me and did seem more genuine than some of the others here. I'm sorry, we have not met yet. You must be the new hire. I'm Molly, the AM here. I can help you with training and orientation. You can be a great asset here at She's. She held a hand toward the back room doors and ushered me towards them. We moved into the back room halls, and as I looked around, I saw several doors that looked like ice boxes. I figured they must store a lot of products to need that many freezers scattered about. Visible near the freezer doors were shelves of other inventory. There were rows of boxes and pallets of strange things like chemicals, metalworking gear, various pieces of hardware, and crates that had gun manufacturers' names on them. I was wondering again just what kind of store this really was. Besides the odd inventory, it was also kind of a mess, and I was glad I wouldn't be the one having to sort all of it. We made our way to an office room with impressively bright blue painted walls, like a kindergarten classroom. The sight reminded me of when Danny was in kindergarten, and I steeled my resolve against any difficulty this job might have. I needed to do this for her. The office was sparse. There was only a desk, some chairs, and a file cabinet. I did notice on the walls, painted on the bright blue, were some black characters that almost looked like calligraphy. Most of those kanji were on the wall, and again I wondered what they meant. Before I could guess, Molly was motioning to me. She gestured for me to sit down at one of the only two chairs in this case, the one facing the desk. I sat down and she sat opposite me. She looked over a few pieces of paper she had on a clipboard and smiled, turned around and started rummaging through a file cabinet. As I was waiting, a sudden shriek was heard outside and I looked to the door and suppressed a gasp. Molly didn't react and kept looking for something. I thought maybe she hadn't heard it and I was about to say something when she wheeled around with a large binder in hand and dropped it onto the desk with a loud crash. Before training starts, please fill out this form for your safety and ours. She handed me a piece of paper that, when reading the details, seemed to be the non-disclosure agreement Benny had mentioned. I thought it was odd I had to sign this, but other hiring documents like tax, payroll, and healthcare paperwork were not required before starting. I considered they might be paying people under the table, which I hated to admit I might prefer since no tax deduction meant I could save money faster. I signed all too quickly without realizing what I was agreeing to keep quiet and what the consequences imposed were if I didn't. Molly took the paper, looked it over, and said, "Good, that is settled. Well, let's get started. This is the employee handbook. We only have one, so you are going to be doing some light reading for a bit. Because we need the manpower now, though, I will go through it with you quickly, since Ed was indisposed." She grimaced when she said the last word, and looked at her watch and then adjusted a dial on her walkie-talkie. She looked back at me and resumed. "As a bagger, you are vital in assuring customers leave satisfied with the product, and you are one of the last people they will see on their way out, except in certain circumstances." She cleared her throat loudly in time to muffle some noise I thought I heard somewhere else in the back room. "Basic rules and code of conduct are as follows. You are to bag products to the customer's satisfaction. The first thing you are to ask customers is what type of bags they want. Whatever they say goes as far as how to bag things and with what bags. You are not to ask about or discuss the purchases of the customers, no matter how curious you are or how talkative they might be. No questions, period. Understood?" She slammed her fist on the binder and I jumped back, startled, as she looked at me. I stammered out a quick acknowledgement. Yes, understood. "Good," she said and continued with the list. "No assistance may be provided to customers for loading or unloading things from their vehicles. If a customer requests help to their vehicle, do not under any circumstances assist or leave the building with them or any customer at any time, regardless of the story they give you as to why they need help. It is our policy, and they know this. If requests persist, or you're feeling intimidated or threatened, you are to press the yellow button at the end of each checkout by the bagging station. A security personnel will escort the offending customer to aisle 4 for processing and detainment." Wait, detainment? They don't just kick them out? I thought that was weird. she continued with the next rule before I could ask about it. The most important rule. Occasionally there will be special bag requests. You will know it when you hear it. If ordered, press the black button by the end of the checkout and proceed with code black protocol. These guests are normally our highest paying customers and often are here at the pleasure of Mr. Xi himself. They must be attended as quickly as possible. There it was, code black again. What special bag was she talking about? Ignoring the look of concern spreading over my face, she continued. Cell phones, smartwatches, or quite literally anything that could be used as a recording device are strictly prohibited while on duty, both for our customers' sake and for our own. Store closes at 4 a.m. exactly. Any customers who remain will be escorted out, only exception being any customers who are involved in a code black. No access is allowed to the basement and inventory back rooms, only managers and stock employees allowed. Simple, right? Any questions? She asked while flashing another smile. Well, I did have a few questions about the... She cut me off mid-sentence, talking over me and saying, Good! I knew you looked like a fast learner. Come on, let's get you out to the check stands and bagging. She grabbed my shoulder surprisingly hard and pulled me out of the office and back into the store proper. I saw a few customers look at me getting pulled along, and I saw some snickers and I felt a bit embarrassed. I was led to a checkout with a flickering number 3 next to it. The other two were busy with customers waiting in line to be helped by a cashier and bagger a few feet away, where I would be standing. We stopped and Molly cleared her throat loudly to get the attention of a young man with dirty blonde hair and a rather unimpressed expression on his face. Hello, Lee. This is our new bagger. Show him the ropes and try to be easy on him. It's his first day. I know it's busy, but we don't need another rob situation so soon. Have fun, you two. She walked away without another word to the back room, and I was left there with Lee. As I heard his name, he was staring at me. I tried to break the ice. Hi, my name is... Save it, he responded abruptly. I don't want to get attached, just in case. I liked Rob. He was my friend, and now... Well, now it's not. It's best not to talk about what happened to him. Just do your job, to follow the rules, and you should be fine. I didn't know how to respond to the blunt introduction, but I figured he seemed nicer than that Ed guy, so I just walked up to the bagging station and gave him a mock salute and tried to put a smile on my face. It was going to be a long night. The first customer came through and Lee wordlessly scanned their items. I proceeded to grab a few nearby bags when I felt a sharp kick in my leg. Lee was glaring at me like I had just slapped his mother. What? I thought I was supposed to. Then I looked at the customer who was frowning at me and I remembered. Hello, what type of bag would you like? The customer, an older woman, sneered at me and finally accepted the question and said flatly, Paper, please. And did her best to pretend I didn't exist while I was bagging her items. Mostly groceries, produce, meat, and dairy. There were a few odd pieces, like a set of kitchen knives and what looked like boxes of some sort of firearm ammunition. I was about to ask about them when I remembered the rules. I tried to ignore it and just carry on. She left wordlessly and more customers piled into our line. As the night went on, I started to see less normal items and more disturbing things. One customer had bought zip ties, large volumes of what looked like medical-grade sedatives, and several bags of candy. Another bought an ungodly amount of various weapons ammunition and several large fruits like watermelon and honeydew. I thought he might just be shooting some fruit for target practice, until I saw what appeared to be a Kevlar vest and an uncomfortable amount of alcohol. After a dozen very disturbing customers came through, I finally found someone who seemed a bit friendly. She was a kindly old woman who seemed to enjoy speaking to me, and by all accounts was very nice. It was a much-needed reprieve, and I actually enjoyed talking with her. Her name was Marge, and she was just buying some baking supplies, eggs, butter, flour, spices, all pretty normal things. You simply must try my raspberry tart. It is divine. I will bring some by next time, or better yet, I think I still have some in my car. Won't you be a doll and help an old woman with her groceries? I was about to accept when I saw Lee's face go blank, and he just shook his head. I looked back at Marge, and she had a wide grin on her face, and I looked down at the second half of her groceries yet to be bagged. There were containers of various chemicals, including rat poison, bleach, and ammonia. I tried to speak, but I froze, and she asked again. Come on, dearie. My hip is in bad shape after my fall, and it would only be a moment. and you can have a treat and a nice tip as well. Her grin shifted in a way that made me very uncomfortable, and I struggled to speak, but finally blurted out, "No thank you, ma'am. Store policy. We are not to escort customers out of the store under any conditions." Her grin vanished, and grimace of anger flared up briefly. "Oh well, you're lost, I suppose. I would have made it spectacular. I thought I might get one of the new ones before you figured it out. Next time, Sunny, I might just find where you live and make a house call." She winked at me and pushed her cart away, and I was shocked and horrified at the implications of what had just happened. Lee elbowed me in the side and gestured to the customer who had taken her place, and I was forced to just ignore another uncomfortable encounter that night. After a long shift of bagging goods for an assortment of disturbing individuals, I realized my work was done when a screeching PA system informed everyone in that store that, "It is now 4 a.m. and we are closing. If you have not purchased your items already, then you must leave. If you are loading goods, a reminder that no employees may leave with you. You must take them and leave. If you do not, they will be confiscated. Any customers lingering in the store will be confiscated as well." Jeez, they were not joking about the strict closing time. A large group of people I had not seen before moved through the aisles with flashlights and batons. They must have been the store's security team. They seemed overkill and intense, more like paramilitary than grocery store security guards. They were looking for any stragglers, apparently. I thought just then of the weird announcement about people left behind being confiscated as well, and it seemed kind of concerning with how serious they were about everyone getting the hell out on time. I was ushered out as well, along with the other staff who left wordlessly. I tried to make a quip to Lee, asking if there was ever overtime, but he just kept his head down and ignored my joke. I did not know what kind of operation this was, but the more I learned about it, the more I felt like I had made a mistake in taking the job. I had to keep it for a while longer at least, until I could save enough for Danny's treatment. I worked at She's for a few more weeks of uncomfortable conversations and ghoulish and unspeakable items being bagged at the caprice of disturbing and malign customers. I saw two co-blacks in that time, at least I should say, I overheard them. Lee told me not to look and try to avoid the attention of the customers who ordered them. After the first one in my second week of work, I did not see Jay, the other bag boy, again. Lee warned me not to ask about him, and I was getting increasingly terrified of what would happen if I got one as well. What the hell were the co-blacks? The only good news I had was that the store paid bi-weekly, and to my surprise, it seemed like almost no taxes were taken out of my paycheck. I had almost a full $2,800 from the first 2 weeks of work. A little more, and with a bit of the money I saved up for my other job, I could afford Danny's treatment. I just needed to make it 2 more weeks, and then I could quit and never see the awful place again. I managed to avoid any trouble for my 3rd week, but in my last week, I had a disastrous run-in with a customer. It was what started a sequence of events so horrible that the conclusion still threatens my family's safety and terrifies me to this day. It was about 11 p.m. and things were going okay. Some of the managers were poking around and there was an odd air of concern and anticipation in the air. A lady told me that the owner would be stopping by at some point that night, Mr. She himself. I was trying to ask more about the owner when a large bald man came to our checkout. He had horn-rimmed glasses and a large jowly face that was fixed in a leering stare that made me feel very uncomfortable. He tried to chat with me, but I got very bad vibes from the man. I tried to ignore him, but he kept pressing it.
Come on, man. Lighten up. I see you are new here. What's it like working here? You see any real action?
My response was simply asking, "What type of bag would you like, sir?"
"I will show you my bag if you show me yours,"
he said, then he let out a belly laugh that almost knocked his glasses off, as he kept smiling at me with a sick gleam in his eyes. After a moment, he finally said,
"Plastic's fine, I suppose, just trying to lighten the mood. You look tense, like you could use a break."
I ignored him while bagging copious amounts of junk food, a pair of pliers, lube, condoms, and various chemicals like bleach and OxyClean. I had become slightly inured to the worst of the colorful characters and the concerning wares they purchased, but this one seemed particularly loathsome.
"Yeah, you could definitely use a break. Hey, I know. I can give you a little pick-me-up in my car. I'm right outside. Help me take this. Help me take this stuff out now. I'm your huckleberry."
I couldn't even formulate a response. I couldn't think over my skin crawling away to another zip code. I resolved to just fall back on the rulebook line and proceeded to inform him that we are not allowed to leave the store with customers for any reason. To my horror and disgust, this one did not let the matter go.
Ah, come on, you're just playing hard to get. Seriously, I'm sure I can pay you more than these people. Come on, what do you say? Come on out and we can talk about it.
I repeated the rules again while bagging the last of his items, but he would not let it go.
Hey, listen to me, you little prick. You think you're too good for me? You think you're some kind of hot stuff, huh? Well, you're coming outside now, and no one ignores me like this. I have a special treat in store for stubborn pricks. You don't listen to me.
His face was bright red, and he was practically spitting the words at me. I panicked at first, but then I remembered the button by the bagging station. I pressed it discreetly while trying to hold my ground. Shrinking slightly back to the vile tirade of the deranged individual, I took a step back, and he moved forward, looking like he was going to grab me. To my surprise, a large gloved hand fell on his shoulder. I looked behind him, and a nearly 7-foot-tall man clad in a weird cross between police riot gear and military-grade armor was holding him back. The customer turned around and started to yell at security.
Do you pricks know who the hell I am? I know the owner. You will all be sorry you crossed me. I'm going to...
And a sickening crunch was heard, followed by the man going limp. The guard holstered a now bloodied security baton and bent over the dazed form of the customer. His eyes were glazed and he likely had a concussion, but he was still conscious and tried to speak when the security guard seized him by the throat and hoisted him back to his feet. The customer tried to whimper out a soft and confusing sounding, "Wait, wait," before he was punched so hard in the chest I thought I heard his ribs break from where I was standing. The helmeted face of the guard turned to me, looked me up and down, and asked,
"What type of bag was he using?"
I had no idea what that had to do with anything, but I answered, "Plastic. He was using plastic." I heard a chuckle under the mask and helmet of the guard, and he said, "Too bad he didn't pick paper." And the guard dumped out one of the man's bags as he was trying to rise to his feet. The guard placed the plastic bag around the customer's head and tightened it. To my shock and horror, he proceeded to easily strangle him. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and after a few moments, it was over. I was speechless, and another guard came over and they took the customer's body on a stretcher to the back room. Benny, the store manager, had appeared out of nowhere and spoke to us.
"I'm sorry you had to see that, but I'm glad you're safe. We take threats very seriously here and know you all need to be safe in such dangerous times. That is why we keep this place safe, safe from dangerous people like that. I trust what happened here will also be safe and secure with you, right? After all, we wouldn't want you endangered by anyone like that knowing where you live, right?"
He smiled at us and left to the back rooms. I understood the veiled threat and realized I would not be able to tell any real authorities or report on this madhouse. Despite that encounter, my night was not done yet, and the worst was yet to come. And Lee would not speak to me about what we both saw, and we tried to move on with the night and pretend what we saw hadn't happened. It was getting close to 4 a.m. and we would be able to close soon. I was so close to being done with this place and getting out of there and home to my little girl. I just needed to hang on for a couple more days. There were only a few more customers lining up at the checkouts when something odd happened. A well-dressed man went to checkout number 2 and they shut off their light and said the scanner was not working anymore. It seemed fishy since it had been fine all night. But when the guarded looks and concerned faces flashed before me and then back at the well-dressed man, I realized that they might know something I didn't. My heart sank as I realized he might be one of those special customers. I looked over at Lee and he was visibly sweating and fumbling with the cash register. The man sauntered over to our checkout. He had a small basket with what looked like fine sewing thread, thimbles, and tailoring articles. It also contained a hacksaw, a plaster cast, and several boxes of nails and rivets that seemed to clash with the sewing equipment. By itself, I did not think anything of it, and I relaxed a bit. Lee was pale and wordlessly scanned the small items he had. After they came down the conveyor, the man turned to me, tipped his hat, and introduced himself.
"Good evening, my friend. My name is Henry Jaspin. I work for a little antique clothes shop, and I'm here to get some materials."
I relaxed a bit more. This did not seem too strange. I proceeded to ask, "What type of bags would you like today, Mr. Jaspin?"
"Well, my good fellow, I should think paper for the small bits you see here. Indeed." I found all the tailoring kit I need to make work anyone would be proud of, but what I really need today are some raw materials. So the bag I really need will be a body bag tonight, preferably the larger variety. My mind was racing. My heart was pounding. Did he just say he needed a body bag? I was about to ask him to repeat it when it dawned on me. The rules had said, a special bag request. You will know it when you hear it. I realized I had just encountered my first code black. I forced my trembling body to move and I pressed the black button under the bagging station. I heard an alert on nearby walkie-talkies. Code black on number 3. Confirmations were heard all around. There was a burst of motion near the back and I handed Mr. Jaspin his bag of smaller merchandise as Benny approached us. Good evening, Mr. Jaspin. He managed to choke out the words, seemingly uncharacteristically nervous. Oh, Benny, don't worry. I know what I asked for, and though you are a big fella, I wouldn't dream of picking you. We go too far back. Besides, your skin is terrible. Can you imagine one of our suits on you? Mr. Jaspin let out a howl of laughter, and Benny followed suit with a nervous chuckle of his own. Your new employee here, however. He has a nice strong jaw and broad shoulders. Not as much meat, though. He looked me over and I was confused and terrified at the implication of whatever it was he was talking about. As he was eyeing me, Benny spoke up, saying, Of course, you're free to pick as you please, but if I could suggest an option. We just picked up a rather unruly fellow who was just processed a few hours ago and he is on the larger side. Perhaps he would be a good alternative. Of course, Benny. You and your new hire lead the way. I followed Benny, in between him and Mr. Jaspin who was behind us. We went into the back and then through key card locked doors that led into the basement. Benny shot me an apologetic look as we descended into the basement and I beheld what was down there for the first time. The place was very dark and freezing. I thought it might be another type of meat locker and I was not too far off. When the light switched on, I had to stifle a gasp of horror and shock. As soon as the room was illuminated, I saw it all. We were surrounded on all sides by rows and rows of body bags. Almost all of them were full. Corpses leered out of many of them, all in various states of decomposition. I thought I was going to be sick. It looked like a morgue. I realized that we had been dealing with these products the whole time. I left quietly to myself in despair when I realized the options were paper, plastic, and apparently body bags. I thought of the conversation of selecting a person. I also thought of the other people who had handled Code Blacks and had not been seen again, like Rob. Rob was bagged. I stood there, mouth agape, trembling at the horror of the nightmare room before me. While it all unfolded in stark terror to me, Mr. Jaspin calmly perused through the inventory of corpses. He would scrutinize them, pinching a cheek here and there and giving a tut-tut or moan of disdain. He came across the body Benny had pointed out and he said, "My, my, he is a big fellow. A lot of material they would love to use. Skin is a little dry in places. A touch of eczema. That is all right, though, Benny, old chum. You have a deal. I will tell Mr. She." Benny sighed in relief and started to guide me out of that nightmare dungeon. While leaving, I caught a look at Mr. Jaspin's pick and held my hand over my mouth to avoid gasping out loud. It was the belligerent customer from earlier, a large dent on his face when it was smashed in by security. The face had a deathly pallor and his eyes were still leering, even in death. Why in the hell was he down here in a body bag? And why did it sound like he was just purchased? My mind was grasping for rationalizations for how and why this was all happening. And suddenly Mr. Jaspin caught my hand and proceeded to place a card into my palm. "As for you, my fine friend, we would love to have a worker like you at our establishment. She runs a tight ship here, but we are a bit more free-spirited at the tailor. Take care." And he departed with his horrific purchase. I was ushered upstairs in a daze, and I vaguely heard Benny talking with someone. I snapped back to my senses and saw a new face looking at me. He was an older man, and he had a very intense, unblinking eyes that were boring into my soul as I stood there. He spoke to me in a stern but oddly soothing voice. "I know you might be unsettled by what you saw, but she knew and the means to access it are natural paths of life. It is what you saw. It is what we sell. We sell it in all forms. Why, it is even in our name. I hope you understand and do not consider anything foolish over the next few days. We value your work and understand that some people lack the fortitude to deal with what our business does. Just don't forget that when you head back to your house on 4th Avenue. The large cherry tree at the end of the street is blossoming and looks beautiful. You should take your daughter to see it while it still blooms. Placed a hand on my shoulder and squeezed while departing. I had no idea what I had just witnessed, but I knew I was in trouble. My mind was a jumble, and besides the imminent threat, I found myself considering something unrelated, a name. I thought about what Mr. She had said about She Knew, and how he sell it. I looked again at the sign as I was leaving. She's Nighttime Convenience and Grocery. I did not think anything of it at first, but I looked closer at the kanji by the first word. Looking up the meaning on my phone, I saw it was indeed the kanji for she, sometimes when used counting as the number 4 in Japanese, but more often associated with something else. The dawning horror and simplicity of the name made sense now. She more often translates to death. I had worked almost an entire month at Death's Nighttime Convenience and Grocery. I did not go back. I quit. I'll find another way to make the rest of the money I need. My family's safety is what is important now, and I know it is not safe for me and Danny here anymore. How could it be when Mr. Death knows where we live? That's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed this one. Let me know what you thought in the comments below, wherever you're listening, if you're able to leave a comment. And hey, if you'd like, I'd love it if you'd like this video and episodes so the other platforms know that this isn't hot garbage. And if you'd like to support the channel even more, head on over to Patreon. I've got this like little exclusive podcast thing that I try to keep up with sometimes. And well, there's early access there too, and just general chit chats. But if you want general chit chats, you should probably join our Discord, because that's where, and you know, I'm hearing this from other people, that's where all the cool kids hang out. So don't take it from me. Come find out for yourself. Anyways, I appreciate you for listening. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you in the next one.